We continue now with Masachas Beis Daf Yudalid Amud Beis. We are going to start with the mission about 7 lines from the top of the page. The mission is going to discuss the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding the laws of Borer on Yom Tov. We know that one of the 39 melachos on Shabbos is Borer, that is prohibited to separate, to select, specifically if you have a tarobes, a mixture of different units. Some constitute what we call ochel, that which you want, that which is usable, that which you desire, and the psoles, that which is undesired. So it is prohibited to go ahead and to separate the psoles from the ochel. Under certain circumstances, if certain conditions are met, it may be permissible. Over here, the Mishnah addresses the question of borer on Yom Tov. So says the Mishnah, haborer kitnios b'Yom Tov. If a person has, again, this tarovis, a mixture of kitnios, of different types of legumes, together with other psoles, there are other things that are mixed up, and he wants to eat the kitnios, so therefore he wants to separate them from this mixture. What he can do is he can separate the food, meaning he can remove the kitnios, and then he can eat it. Now, according to Beis Shammai, he has to remove the kitnios and eat them. Beis Hillel say, no, it is not necessary to actually go ahead and remove the ochel from the psoles, but rather a person can go ahead and separate in the manner in which he usually does, which would even include removing the psoles from the ochel. And he could do this b'cheiko, which means in his lap, by taking quantities of this mixture as he's separating and putting it in his lap, and then he'll discard it. B'kanon, which is a funnel, which is a keli that facilitates the process of separation, makes it a little easier. V'tamchui, which means with a large plate, once again, something which is also used in order to facilitate the separation process. However, he may not use a board, a fine sieve, or a coarse sieve. These are different types of kelim that are primarily, if not exclusively, used for borer, and they are far more effective than the kanon and the tamchui. So Beis Hillel says you are permitted to go ahead and be borer kedarko, and you can even use kelim that will assist in this. However, not all kelim are permissible. Some are considered to be prohibited, even according to Beis Hillel. We generally assume that the shita of Beis Hillel is that really meikar adin borer is mutter on Yom Tov, because after all, as we've explained, it's something which is, in this case, being used l'tzorach ochel nefesh. It's being done for the purpose of preparing food for consumption. However, Beis Hillel say that you're not permitted to go ahead and use certain kelim, because these are used usually when preparing larger quantities of food. And now we're concerned that if a person is going to prepare quantities of food that he has no intention of using on Yom Tov, but rather he's preparing for afterwards, so then there's certainly no heter v'ochel nefesh in that particular situation. So therefore, Beis Hillel forbids using certain types of kelim because these would not be needed typically for the relatively smaller quantities that a person would use just for that day. And finally, the Mishnah concludes, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, af mediach v'shole. He can even go ahead and rinse. Rashi says over here, mediach b'mayim, he can rinse with water. Let's say he's, again, trying to separate the psoles from these kidneys. He can rinse water in order to remove the psoles. V'shole, which means, and to skim it. So Rashi cites the Gemara, which is going to explain that means he could skim the top of the water in order to go ahead and to remove the psoles, which gathers in the water after he rinses the kidneys. The Gemara now cites a brisa which further elaborates on the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Medvar Mamurim. In what situation do Beis Hillel say that it's permissible to go ahead and to be borer kedarko? This is kisha ochal maruba al hapsoles. This is in a situation when there's more food than there is psoles. Again, the impurities, that which a person does not desire. So in this particular situation, removing the psoles is considered to be the less involved activity. It doesn't require as much time. It doesn't require as much effort because there's more ochel than psoles. So then Beis Hillel say, remove the psoles because doing so will involve less of a tircha. Psoles meruba la ochel. But if you should have a taroves, in which there is more psolas than ochel, in which the impurities outnumber the ochel, the food, so then divrei akol no telus ochel meniachas apsolas. So then everyone agreed, even Beis Hillel would at that point agree with Beis Shammai, that the only permissible method would be to remove the ochel from the psolas. So says the Gemara, psolas meruba la ochel, mi'ika mandashari, wait a second. If you mamish have psolas, the impurities that outnumber the ochel, the food, would anybody tell you that it's permissible to be mevarer, to separate this particular mixture under all circumstances? After all, we would have thought that this would be prohibited entirely. Why would this be so? Why would we come to this conclusion? So says Rashi, Mikim Nandashari, Vafilu Taltal, even to move it. Why? Vahabateli le mi'uta lagabe ruba. In this situation, we would say the mi'ut, the minority of the mixture, namely the food, is going to be batel to the rov, which is the psoles, Vahabale kakule psoles, in which case we would view the entire mixture as it is, as if it is psoles, lochazi, and it's something which does not really have any purpose for me on this day, and so therefore, maybe the entire mixture should be also even betiltal, even to move it. So says the Gemara, lo tzricha, the nafish betircha, vizutar b'shiura. Which means, the nafish betircha, when taking the psoles from the ochel, nafish tircha requires a greater effort than if one would remove the ochel from the psoles, however, vizutar b'shiura. But in reality, the amount of psoles is less than the amount of food. In other words, when it's said before, when you're taking the psoles, which is meruba la'ochel, it doesn't mean literally that it is meruba la'ochel. In that particular situation, Chanami, as we said, that it would be usher to move it because really we'd review the entire mixture as being psoles. However, in a situation where removing the psoles requires more effort, however, it is smaller in quantity, in that case, we say that a person has to go ahead and take the food from the psoles. You have to take the ochel from the psoles. So just to summarize this point, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi, the nafish betircha. Why would it be that it would require greater effort to remove the psoles from the ochel? Says Rashi, sheyesh no dak. Because even though it's true that the psoles does not outnumber the ochel, but it is very small, it is very fine, and it is a much more, difficult, painstaking process. And this is what Rav Gamliel is saying. When is it that Beis Hillel say that you should go ahead and you should remove the psoles from the ochel? This is bizman shetorach ha'ochel meruba al shel psoles. This is when the removal of the ochel from the psoles involves a greater effort. So then, who the ka'amri Beis Hillel notu psoles? Then Beis Hillel say, you know what? Better to remove the psoles the mi'ute b'tircha, because minimizing the effort, odd if that takes precedence, that's better. Aval torach psoles meruba shel ochel, however, in a situation where the effort involved in removing the psoles is greater than the involved in moving the ochel from psoles, and then the Birkhol, then everybody's going to agree that in that particular situation, you should certainly go ahead and take the ochel from the psoles. Continues the Gemara, commenting on the last line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Elomer af mediach v'sholem. Rabbi Elomer says that you can go ahead and rinse the kidneys, and then go ahead and skim the top. So says the Gemara quotes a braisa, Tanya, Amar Rav Elazar ben Rav Tzadok, Kacha yimin hagan shel beis Rav Gamliel. So Rav Elazar ben Rav Tzadok said that this was the custom in Rav Gamliel's house. So yimavi in the malei adashim, they would go ahead and they would bring a bucket full of lentils. Umitzifin alav mayim, they would put water in there so that the water would go ahead and rise above the lentils. V'nimtza ochel amato psolos amalo. So what would happen naturally is that the ochel, the adashim, the lentils, would remain at the bottom, they would sink to the bottom, and the psoles would rise to the top. So this would allow them very easily to go ahead and to separate whatever psoles, whatever impurities there were that were attached to the lentils in a very simple way, and this is what they would do. So it says the Gemara of Atanya Ipcha, but didn't we have a brisa which taught the opposite? What do you mean the opposite? So says Rashi, we have a brisa that says, ochel lamalo psoles lamata, that when they would do this, the food would rise and the psoles would sink. So which one is it? So says the Gemara, Lokashio haba afra haba gile. It just depends what type of psoles you're talking about. If the second brisa, which says that the psoles would sink to the bottom, that was talking about afra. That's talking about dirt, meaning it was a mixture of ochel, and the psoles in this case was dirt. So dirt is going to sink to the bottom. However, when you're talking about gile, says Rashi, kash, straw, so that's going to rise, lamalam ochel. That's going to rise above the food, and that's what the first brisa was referring to when it said that the ones that cited over here, they're in Gamliel's household, when they used to go and they would put water on top of the yadash, and the psolas would rise. So it was talking about gila, it was talking about straw, and not offer. The next mission now continues with another discussion. Now we're going to talk about, again, the machlokas between Bisham and Bisil, of course, but now we're talking about the issue of sending gifts to somebody on Yom Tov. Says the Mishnah, Bishama Yomrim, Ein Mishalchin B'Yom Tov. A person is not permitted to go ahead and to send, says Rashi, Doron Ishlo Yehu, a gift, one person to another, Ela Manos, with the exception of Manos. What are Manos? Says Rashi, Dover Hamuchan. We're talking over here about food that is prepared, in a prepared state, Ve'enu Asoy L'Hanichol L'Machar. And it's not the kind of thing where you could just leave it for the next day. Kigon, for example, would be chatichos basar chatuchos lefnei archem v'chein dagim. Let's say fresh pieces of meat or fish, which need to be consumed on that day, or they're going to spoil. So that type of gift you can give, because clearly it is has a purpose for this day, and that's permissible. You can go ahead and you can send animals, whether we're talking about domesticated animals or non-domesticated animals, oaf, birds, whether they are alive or whether they're slaughtered. There's no limitation. And continue Basilos, you can go ahead and you can send wine and oil. Slatos are fine flowers, kidneys, as we said already, legumes, avalotvua. But you cannot send tvua. Why? Says Rashi, She'enu ruya hayom. This has no purpose for this day. Nothing you can do with grain on Yom Tov. She'en tolchem b'Yom Tov. Because you can't grind it on Yom Tov. This is going to be prohibited. She'ilo litchon miyesmo, because you should have done it yesterday. Why? V'lo ma'afik time. It would not have affected the taste. If you go ahead and you grind wheat, so the flour doesn't spoil, it doesn't become any less tasty on day two than it is on day one. So you should have done it yesterday. However, says the Mishnah, Reb Shimon mati betvua. Reb Shimon says that it's even permissible to go ahead and to give grain as a gift. Says Rashi, Shemi yavashlin b'kadeira, yikashe b'bachteshes kentana. Because there are other ways that you can use grain. Number one, it could be cooked in that particular state. You don't actually have to grind it first. There are circumstances in which tevuah could be edible even without being tochen it. And, as we had seen in the previous sugya, it is permissible, according to some, to go ahead and to crush grain in a machteshes katana, in a small machteshes, as opposed to a larger one. And so therefore, Rishon says it's permissible to even send this on Yom Tov. So the Gemara now begins with a qualification on the teaching of Beis Hillel. Tanu Rebbe Chiel. Rebbe Chiel taught the following in Braisa, Ubevad shelo ya'asenu b'shura. That according to Beis Hillel, yeah, it's okay to go ahead and to send gifts. However, you cannot do it b'shura. What does b'shura mean? Says Rashi, lo yishlach hador na'idei anoshim harbe. You shouldn't send a gift with a contingent of many people. The av shemilsa, because this is going to make a lot of noise. It's going to attract a lot of attention. The nirim kevalichem limchor b'shuk. And it would certainly give the impression that you're going ahead to do business. So you're taking all of your merchandise and you're going to the street in order to go ahead and to sell merchandise, which of course is going to be a problem on Yom Tov. So you want to send a small gift to someone, that's fine. But not Bashura, again, which means which a large quantity of people. We have another Braisa Tana, Ein Shura Pechusa Mishlosha B'nei Adam. When we speak over here about a Shura, which means again, this quantity, this large group of people. So what is considered to be a shura? So it says, a shura is not going to consist of any less than shlosh anoshim, three people. So anything less than that would certainly not be a problem. Boy Ravashi said, tlasa gavri, utlasa mine. What would be the din if you have three people, but they are carrying three different types of presents? So my, what would be the halacha in that particular situation? So Rashi spells out the question of, he says, "My miyaz lina basar kol minu min." Should we say that? Well, we look at each and every min, even each and every type of food separately. V'shari, and in which case it should be permissible. Ki heichad yachol l'shloach ish echadim kol min zeh b'lo zeh. Just like you could send one person with any one of these minim. So hashtanami shari. So it should be permissible now as well. It's no different if you send three gifts with three people. Odom, you say no. No, the bottom line is now you have three people bringing gifts, and the fact that they're bringing different ones doesn't change anything now already. This is what we would call a shura, and it's going to be a problem. So the Gemara leaves this as a teiku, which means the question remains unanswered. The Gemara now concludes with a braisa which elaborates on the shita of Rabbi Gamliel. Right? Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon taught in the conclusion of the Mishnah that it's permissible to go ahead and to send tvua grain. So Tanya, it says, Rabbi Shimon matir b'tvua, as we saw in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon permits grain to be sent. The reason we said is because there are ways that grain can actually be prepared for achila on Yom Tov. And now the Braisa gives three examples of what you can do with grain, even though you don't actually grind the grain and produce flour. So number one, kigon chitin, lasos mehen ludios. You can go ahead and you can take the wheat in order to make a wheat dish, says Rashi, Michael chitin. This is some type of food that is made of wheat. So orim, if you're talking about barley, litain lefnei behemto, you can go ahead and you can give it to your animal. And if we're talking about adashim lasos mehen resisin, you can go ahead and you can make also, Rashi says over here, there's some type of michael hasuim and adashim, some type of dish that is made from lentils. So in other words, in all these cases, you can go ahead and you could take foods that are often processed in ways that is prohibited on Yom Tov, but you could send it as a gift because there are still ways that you can make it in a unprocessed manner. You could still go ahead and make use of it, either to prepare a certain dish or to give it to your animals, etc. The next Mishnah continues the discussion about what sort of items may be sent as gifts on Yom Tov, but over here we're no longer talking about food, now we're talking about non-food items. So Meshalchim Kalim, a person can send Kalim, says Rashi, Begadim, clothing. A person can go ahead and send clothing to somebody else on Yom Tov. Bein tfurin, bein she'ina tfurin, whether they are sewn up or they are not sewn. Vafa pishe yesh behen kalayim. And even if they contain, even if they do contain kalayim, shatnas. And why is this? So says the Mishnah, vehein letzar chamoid. Because these are still considered to have a need for Yom Tov, says Rashi, ube gemar mefarish l'may chazer. The Gemara is going to explain what you can do with begadim that are not tefurim. With begadim that contain shatnez, we have to explain, after all, we know what we can't do with them, so what can you do? Avalo sandal amesumar. However, you cannot go ahead and send a sandal with spikes. So Rashi over here cites a Gemara in Shabbos, which explains that the reason why you can't wear these is because of a certain incident in which occurred, and they're apparently dangerous. So we'll have to elaborate a little more on what the problem is with sandal masumar. Velo minal she'enol tafur. You cannot go ahead and send a minal, a shoe, which is not tafur, which is not sewn. Rabbi Yehuda says, af lo minal lavan. You also cannot send a white shoe. Rashi says, because shelo haya darko l'nalo, this is unusual for people to wear such shoes. Mipnei shetzarech uman, because it's going to require first an uman, a special professional, a craftsman, to go ahead and to blacken it. People are not going to wear shoes in that state. Zeh klal, the general rule is, the Mishnah concludes, kol shenei yosenbo, whatever can be used on Yom Tov itself, so then be Yom Tov m'shalchano, so then you can go ahead and you send it on Yom Tov. Anything which could be used on that day, you can send, and something which cannot be used on that day, so then you can not send. Rashi says, shena osan means miskashtin. This is something that you can use for the purpose of adornment, either by wearing it or by using it in as some sort of accessory to one's clothing. These types of items are permissible to be sent on Yom Tov. So now the Gemara elaborates on the first part of the Mishnah, which talks about the heter to go ahead and send different types of clothing. So bishlam tefurin, it makes sense why you can go ahead and you can send begadim which are tefurin, which are sewn already, because chazal malbush, because obviously in that state they are ready to be worn, and they have a use that is clear and evident on that day. She'ein tefurin nami. And even with the clothes that are not sewn, so then chazul lechasuye, so then you could use them to cover oneself. So even though they can't be worn comfortably, it's not going to look nice, but if I'm cold at night, I could use an unsewn garment as another layer. Ela kilayim lemay chazul, but what are you going to do, with clothes that have kilayim, that have shatnez? Because the halach is that if something contains shatnez, not only is it prohibited to wear it, but you cannot even use it for kiso, you cannot even use it to cover oneself. So what purpose could this possibly have on Yom Tov? So says the Gemara, maybe you'll tell me, chazu lemeimach tusei, that it's permissible to go ahead and to fold them underneath a person. Now, he cannot put them on top of him, but let's say he wants to lie down on top of a sheet, so he could use a sheet that's made of shatnez, but that's not true. But Tanya, we learn in Braisa, lo yale olecha. The pasuk says regarding shatnez, beged kalayim shatnez lo yalo alecha, that you cannot literally put it on top of you. Aval atayochel latzio tachtecha, you may put it under you. That's the din. Aval amru chachamim asur lasos kein. Min haTorah, it's permissible to go ahead and to place shatnez under you. It's only on top of you that's prohibited. However, the chachamim say you shouldn't do it. Shema tikorech lanema al basara, because we're still concerned that maybe a small string, a thread, will go ahead and will wrap, literally, will rise to be on top of his body, on top of his flesh, and therefore he's going to be over the yisur of having kilayim, shatnez, on top of him. So, apparently, a beged that contains shatnez, again, seems to have no use whatsoever. You can't wear it, you can't put it on top of you, you can't even put it under you. So says the Gemara, well, maybe not. Maybe we can find a way out of this problem. Maybe you can go ahead and he'll place something in between the shatnez that's under him, so therefore there's no way the neighbor can go ahead and be placed, and that will somehow be tikorei chabasaro, then go ahead and find its way on top of his flesh. But this can't be, because Rabbi Shimon Pazi said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi, I'm Rabbi Yosef and Shol, I'm Rabbi Mishum Kahola Kadishat Bishalayim. That Rabbi Yossi ben Shol taught the name of Rebbe from a particular, I guess, a ruling halacha that was taught in the Kahal Kaddish Yerushalayim, the holy congregation in Yerushalayim, Afilu Eser Matzo Zo Gamizu. Even if you have 10 different sheets or blanket separations, one on top of the other, the Kilayim Tachteyan, and there's a Kilayim underneath, Shatnes is underneath, Oser Lishan Aleim. It is still prohibited to sleep on them. So we don't say that, well, if you have a davar hamafsik, that's going to matter. We see from this halacha, from the Kohala Kaddish Yerushalayim, that it's not true. That even when you have many layers that separate between the person and the shatnez all the way in the bottom, it's still not going to be permissible. So says Gemara, different answer. As says Gemara, ela bevilon. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about not something that you're going to wear at all, but a beged that contains shatnez can be used as a vilon, which means a curtain, something that is going to be used to be spread over a doorway, in which case nobody's wearing it, nobody's lying on top of it, it's not on top of anybody, it's just being there to provide some privacy. So says the Gemara of Amr Ula, but didn't Ula see say, but they ma omru vilon tameh? Why is it that the Chachamim say that a vilon is going to be tameh? So Rashi explains that typically something which is considered to be part of the structure of the home is not mekabel tumah, right? Something which is mechubel karka cannot be mekabel tumah. However, Ula taught that when it came to a curtain, so then it is something which is mekabel tumah. And we do not say it's like the other mechitzos habayis. So Ula said, why is this so? Bipnei shahashamish maschamim kenegdo. Because the attendant, the one who is in the house on the other side of the curtain, can be warmed because of the vilon, this curtain, by wrapping himself when he's standing next to it. Because he is standing in the doorway, and you have this vilon, this curtain that is there, obviously primarily for the purpose of blocking sunlight or the cold air, whatever it is. And he goes ahead and he wraps himself a little bit in the curtain in order to warm himself. So this is why it's tamei. So we see that if there's a concern that he's going to wrap himself, and therefore it's makabel tumah, so we should also have a concern that it should be also because it's a problem of shatnez. So Ella says, the Gemara on the top of Tezvava and Aleph, it must be that this is the type of kalayim that it says in the Mishnah you could send. Ella b'kashin, we're talking about clothing that is made of very stiff material. So even though it contains shatnez, there's no way that they're going to provide warmth. Nobody is going to wrap themselves in it. And in this case, you could even sit on it because there's no concern of a nema, of a thread that's going to go ahead and be yale al basara. That's not a concern because, again, we're talking about very, very stiff material. And the Gemara goes on to prove this point. It is permitted to go ahead and to sit upon, again, this hard material, this hard felt of narosh, because again, it does not provide any warmth. And Amar Rav Papa, ardalayin ein behem mishum kalayim. Ardalayin means undershoes. They are not subject to the laws of kalayim, once again, because they are very hard. This is the material that people would place under their shoes, and they would attach the leather to them. So this is again a very, very hard material, it's a very stiff material, and they are not subject to the laws of Shatnas and the laws of Kelayim.